doesn't read the same as mine. All right, if you have your Bible, Psalms 28 this morning. Psalms 128. Did I say 128? I said 28, didn't I? I meant to say 128. All right, we're good. Well, happy Father's Day to the fathers out there. And those that are not fathers, you can have a happy day too. We're just going to get to this morning, by the way. This is my 20th or 21st Father's Day messages I've had the privilege to preach. And I've never used the scripture, so it's kind of exciting. I was just looking throughout and different things this week, and this is one of the things that popped out to me. So let's read this. Let's read these. We're going to read the whole chapter. If you look, you're like, wow, that's going to take a while. Verse 1, blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children the olive plants around the table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see good days of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yea, thou shalt see your children's children and the peace upon Israel. This morning I'm going to make a nice brief message. I've been trying to keep it brief the last couple months, especially because I'm realizing, you know, you can only handle so much. So this morning, you can only handle so much. The seats are more comfortable, but you still need your mind. But verse 1 is applicable to every single person in the room. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord and walks in his ways. The Bible says, do not just love with word, but with word and deed. Every one of us that wants to be walking in the blessing of the Lord, we can't just say it, we have to do it. We have to fear the Lord, we have to reverence him. And you know, fearing the Lord is not something that is I love God every day. It's to put him in a place of honor in your life every day. Every day, the Lord ought to be put into a place of such honor that we don't do things that we shouldn't do. We don't say things. Honoring the Lord is part of it's a lifestyle of living it out. It's not just saying it, but doing it. And so every one of us that want to be blessed, the greatest blessing you have is living out your faith every day. But now verse 2, we're going to jump, is specifically going to talk about fathers. And you know why? It's because the next verse says your wife. So I don't think that the wives have wives in this chapter, or anywhere, actually. But I also don't think they're talking about the children, because they don't have wives yet either. So it's talking about, verse 2 is going to switch to husbands. It's going to switch to fathers. It's going to switch to the role of what men ought to be in the house. And in Mother's Day, I want to give you, I gave a word that was pretty strong. I understand it's brief too, I might add. But it was a word about how we never stop honoring our mother, even when it's not, there's a place of honor you give. It's the same thing for Father's Day. But this year, as I was praying, I felt like it's a little bit different. I'm not going to give a word of encouragement to the fathers as far as, you know, it's your day to be honored. I want to give you a challenging word this year of what it means to be a father, what it means to be a man of God, what it means to be someone who leads your household in the things of the Lord. And so that's kind of the direction we're going to go this morning, so I hope you came ready for that, because that's where we're going. So verse 2 says this, for thou shalt eat the labor of his hands, and happy shall you be. I'm going to just be really blunt and be honest. The greatest blessing for a man is to be able to provide. A man likes to provide. Men like to feel the sense of accomplishment. We like to know that when we get out there, we work hard. Later in the scripture, Paul says, if a man don't work, a man don't eat. I mean, there are the reward of our work is food. It's provision. So one of the greatest blessings of Father's Day, and we want to honor the men in this room, is that you continue to be a provider. You continue to be one who works hard and shows an example to, you know, I actually love it. This summer, I've been able to pull my son a little bit on some of, you know, those that don't know, most of you do, I think. We like to paint. I've been pulling him on job sites. And we were down in Evansville this week doing some work. And I'm having him go out and work and work. And you know what's great is after day one of a 14-hour day, I might add, he's laying on the bed in the hotel room, laying on the bed with ice on his knees, and like, Dad, I can't do this. Like, yes, son. you're almost 18, and I'm running circles around him. You know what? I think it's great. He's not here. He's actually with a friend of his up in the... Actually, this really cool story. Those of Amy, you're going to like this. At Summer Scream, you guys met, what's his name again? Brady. Anyways, he's up there, and he's got professional baseball scouts looking at him this morning. And so Joshua went up with his friend. But his dad's a pastor of a Word of Faith church in Kentucky, and also goes to Rhema Bible College, getting his other degree there. But it's a really neat connection there. So he called and said he's going to be in for the weekend. So last night they hang out this morning. But anyways, I can't pick him in front of him. But when you get around him, just make sure you know dad outworks him all day long. And so I'm up and down ladders. I'm up and down running. And that poor kid, he's like, Dad, I can't do this tomorrow. So he did. He made it throughout the day. I got him home, and he took the next 2 days off, which I didn't, by the way. I didn't take the rest of the week off. I worked 5 days. But anyways, you know what? All joking aside, man, there's nothing wrong with having your sons watch you work hard. Whether it's around the yard doing stuff, but being lazy is not an option. Just being lazy is not an option. Because you more is caught than taught, they say, right? They're going to catch your behavior. They're going to catch the way that you do things. And if you take shortcuts, they'll take shortcuts. If you don't do things the right way, then they're not going to do things the right way. One of the great things about being a father and being a hard worker is that you not only can provide for your home, but you provide an example for your children of what it means to be a hard worker, what it means to be diligent, what it means to finish projects. Now, I do know there's a plaque that I did not buy for Beth because I should. It says, I don't need to be reminded every 6 months for not doing something. I do understand that there's things that they're around my home that should be done because of busy schedules. But there is something about getting things done that we say we're going to do, keeping our word. And when you're going to become the example of what it means to work and have the fruit of your labor, it's not just what you get paid for. It's the fact that you're an example of who you are as a hard worker. And did you notice, I love this part of the verse the most, happy shall you be. Fathers, men, the reward is not just in what you have for your children, your wife, and around you. It's that you're happy. When I work hard and when I know I'm doing my job and when I'm accomplishing things, there's a happiness inside of me. It brings us contentment to know that we're doing what we're called to do. So number one, man, let's step up and let's be providers, not just for the provision that we make for the home, but also be an example to what it means to our children to work hard and to finish what we say we're going to do. Number two, verse 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of the house. I'll stop there because we're going to get the children in a minute. Your wife is a fruitful vine. Now, I'm going to be careful because as I read a little bit of commentary on this week, it wasn't just being that she was fruitful because she had kids. Her life was fruitful. If you looked at Song of Solomon's chapter 8, it says that one of the scriptures talks about being fruitful, and it talked about their intimate life. We'll just stop there because it's a PG audience today. But the book of Song of Solomon is not a PG book. It's a very descriptive book about how men and husbands and wives come together in intimacy. And that verse, actually being fruitful, is talking about being intimate together. It talks about being joyful. It talks about that when a husband is, it says this, his wife shall be fruitful. When a husband... And I'm not going to blame this because you know what? I didn't write this in my notes. And during worship, I was like, I should say it. I'm going to say it. Don't get me wrong. The book of Proverbs also says, better live on a rooftop than live with a brawling wife. Okay? So don't get me wrong. There are some different parameters around there. I'm not saying that it's always the man's fault. Okay? I want to make that clear. Scripture is very clear about it being both ways. However, men, husbands, fathers, I challenge you to be the example to your children of how to treat your wife. More is caught than taught. The way you talk to her. You know, one of the greatest, saddest things for me is, those of you who know my parents, they're phenomenal people. And my son frequently, and so does my daughter, get to go out and have breakfast with grandma and papa. And it's something they do traditionally wise all the time. And one day, Joshua was just having a hard time. And so my dad's like, I'm going to take him out. So he took him out for the whole day, for most of the day. And we came back, and we're sitting back in their pool area, and he just says to me, you know, Joshua's really struggling because he realizes you guys aren't getting along too well. And Joshua's sitting across the table trying not to cry. Again, this is a long time ago, so he was younger. He can cry then. It's okay. He's going to really hate that he wasn't here this morning. You guys can let him have it. Don't worry. I'm okay with that completely. And he started trying to hold back tears. He goes, I just, when our home's not good, it makes me feel weird. It makes me feel awkward. We don't understand the effect that we have on our children. And it made me feel like I can't describe how little it made me feel. Because I realized that we didn't think that we were being obvious about our discussions that we were having or whatever was going on. But they know. And the way that we start, it starts with this. Happy is the wife. Why? Because her husband is doing his responsibility of being a good husband. Men, families in this home room, I understand there's a lot of things going on in your families. But I challenge the men, if you want to have a healthy marriage, you know, happy wife, happy life, that's true too. But if you want to have it starts with us being the men of God that we're called to be. And if we treat our wives right and our children see it, it holds our family together. And we'll get to that in just a second too. But it says this, that the wife is fruitful. There's an intimacy. There's a blessing upon her life. And it says the fruit of the house. You know, one of the things, I won't pick on anybody specifically because I have a few names in the back of my head I chose not to use. But if you go to certain people's homes, you'll find out when the woman's touch is there. There's something about a woman who feels that she can decorate and make her home her home. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but do you really care where the flowers are? I mean, if I see one more plant sitting on my dresser, I'm like, really? It's a dresser. It ought to be a dresser. Not this big old plant in the corner of it that gets in my way, and I don't like it. But you know what? I don't decorate. And if it did, it'd be no pictures on the walls, just nice paint job. That's all it's going to look like. And as long as it's painted and clean, I'm happy. But oh, no, no, no. We got to get out to Bed Bath & Beyond and Kirkland's and what?
Pillows.
Oh, yeah, pillows on the couches. So that's a real good one. Hey, let's sit down. Oh, no, first I got to remove the pillows before I sit down. You see, there's no logic behind this, folks. Okay, all right. All right, we're done. Let's go home. Now that it's not Mother's Day, we could say this, right? But you see, that's not our thing. But when a wife knows that it's her home to decorate, and not just physically now, I can have fun. How about the atmosphere of the home when she's there with her children? When they're, and not that you don't work, and we don't want to go back to this time, it's sexist. No. But there's something about the different ways a woman feels when she knows that her husband's allowing her to be her. She makes the home more what she likes versus what he likes. Because me, as I said, no pillows, no nothing. It would just be like, look, we got a paint job. Looks good. Like the colors? She picked them out, you know. But instead, we make it a home that is not just getting by and looking good, but there's something about it that the wife feels fruitful. She feels happy. And so when we come home, we're happy. And when they come home to their home where they're working on, they're happy. Because there's something about the home that allows both people to be happy. When the husband is feeling content with his provision and what he's doing, the wife is feeling with content and happy with what she's providing, and it becomes a mutual partnership and relationship that brings joy to the family. But husbands, we've got to help create that for them. Now, I'm not saying that women are weak, and you know, please, if you get to that, have you met my wife? She ain't weak. You know, I don't mind strong. It's not the point. The point is, what can we do to make our wife, even the strongest of women, I tell you, because you know, I'd better not get myself in too much trouble that I could. I have a wife that's very strong, very opinionated, very, very much, but she still wants my blessing over her. She still wants that. So don't misunderstand someone being strong. They don't need affirmation and love. They still need that. Just because we're wired differently, we got to get a mindset, well, they can provide themselves. No, they need you still. Husbands, be the example to your children. Be that you can show your children how to treat their mother. The vine represents the beauty of the home, the appearance of the home, the atmosphere of the home. And when we allow and we become a part of that process, there's joy in the home. And then the blessing of that is part two of the same verse, verse 3. Your children are like olive plants around the table. Now we're not looking at the outside of the home. Now we're inside the table where the communion, where the relationships, and where the fellowship is built. When the husband, then the father, and the wife are coming to a good place in their home, and they're creating an environment and an atmosphere in the home that's causing peace and joy and blessing and fruitfulness, their children will be like an olive plant. An olive plant is not like a vine that grows and has needs like the grapes and everything that you provision. This is the oil that comes from it. This is oil represent the blessing, the overflow of God's blessing. Now your children are living in such a great environment that the blessing of the Lord is upon them. Your blessing is upon them, and their success is upon you. And when we develop a home that has this type of momentum, it starts with us creating that, us being the fathers to our children, us being the examples for our children to see. Look, if you think about this, it says they're planted like the olive plants that they're planted. Planted represents being grounded, being successful, and being solid. I want a home that my children feel that they can go home to that's solid, that's planted, that's not in an uproot. If your homes are that way right now, then don't go to a place right now and come to me and go, oh, let me pray with you and believe that God restore those homes for you. And if you're not there, don't feel judged and condemned. Get there. Get to a place where your home, it's not too late. I don't care. I just realized I have two kids. They're both going to be in high school. It's not too late now. It's never too late to let your children know that their home is a safe place for them to come to. They can be themselves, and they can be planted there, and there's success for them, and there's blessing for them. The other thing, it says it's around your table. I don't know about you, but that represents something really powerful, because when I grew up in the home back in, when I was a kid, we had family dinner back then. I don't know about you, I don't remember, we have family dinners now because we meet at Qdoba or something, we meet over, by the way, I just want you to know another really bad thing about my son last week, since he's not here, I'm going to pick him again. Afterwards, when we're getting ready for graduation party, remember my little comments about McDonald's? You know where he went after church? He got McDonald's for everybody. I just want you to know, he's just not a kid. I mean, he's lucky he's not here this morning. But we go out there, and those are our dinners, but back in the day when I was a kid, I remember Dad sat here, Mom sat here, Matt. We had a family that sat around the table, and we ate together. We talked together. There were no cell phones. There was no distractions. And if the phone on the wall that had the cord there rang, it was ignored because we had family time around the table. What represents this verse to me is if we're going to have a home that's successful, we're going to have a home that's blessed. I'm challenging that the husbands would get to a place in your life where you make that your priority more than being more successful at work or being more successful with your playtime or with your golf games or with your whatever else you're doing. Make this the priority because that's where the blessing really lies. Your blessing truly comes from having a providing mentality where you help provide for your family, but you provide an atmosphere too for your wife and your children to be blessed and to walk in that blessing. And that's what Father's Day represents, is a challenge for every one of you men. Don't give up. Wives, let me tell you something. The pressure that the men feel already to provide is greater than some of you realize. And I thank you for a few of you men looking at me shaking their heads. You know what? Men are not naturally sometimes gifted in their emotions and their relationship and their communication. But they need you to do that. That's where we come together and become a team. They need each other more now than ever because our homes are being attacked. The enemy wants to divide us, and we need us to come together now more than ever. We need to have a husband who will lead the way spiritually, but a wife who will come right along his side and join him. When I get to do weddings and I do all this stuff, it was a blessing to me is I always make this statement in weddings, and it's just because it seems like when God chose to pull Eve from the side of Adam, didn't choose to take him from his head or his feet because it wasn't supposed to be subservient or rulership. It was truly to be someone who partners with Adam. Eve was Adam's partner. They walked together side by side in the cool of the day. And that's what marriage ought to be. That's what, as Father's Day, as you want to step up and be the father of your home, it's being a partner with your wife and letting your children become walking in the place of blessing, where true unity and love are in your home. So this morning, that's where I'd like to close, and I am done. And if we could do this, I want to just pray a blessing over you fathers, and we're going to release you this morning. Would you just stand with me? Worship team, don't worry about coming up. You're fine. Ken was like, don't worry about it. I want to pray for you this morning. This is what's on my heart for you. So, Father, I pray right now for every home that's represented in this room. Especially we start right now with the fathers. Men, if you just would just press in just for a second with me. Where we have not been a leader. Where we have not led the charge. Where we've not created an environment of peace. But yet stress and turmoil in our homes, because maybe the worries and the things that we're dealing with, Lord, today we lay that before you and give it to you. We no longer want to put the stress of our life on those that we love and lead. Sometimes the great mark of a leader is being able to take the stress of everything that's on them and leave it right there and not put on other people. So I'm asking this morning, Heavenly Father, take away the burdens from the men that are standing in this room today. I ask you right now, Jesus, just to pull it off. You said you take our yoke, you take our burden upon you, and we exchange it for yours, which is light and easy. So the stress and the things, maybe the things that you're not even talking about, that you're bottling up, the frustrations that you have, that you're not talking about, right now I ask you just to release it to the Lord and trust him with it. Whether it's maybe some issues you're going through in your personal life, maybe it's your personal walk with the Lord. Maybe it's just trying to stay pure with your mind and your thoughts and your actions. Maybe it's just the money issues. Maybe it's anger. Whatever it is this morning, let it go. Release the struggle, the stress, the pain. Just release it. Lord, today we give it to you. You're my provider. You're my healer. You're my deliverer. And so I'm thanking you that there's deliverance for what I'm going through. And I'm no longer going to bring this atmosphere upon my wife or my children. I'm going to be a father that leads my home. And spiritually, I'm going to be an encourager. And I'm going to build those around me up. Secondly, I pray for every man that's in this room or even family in this room that's going through struggles where they're not able to be the husband or the father that they've wanted to be. So today, I just speak this over you. Everything you need is right there in Christ. I pray for grace and mercy to be upon the marriages of the husbands who are struggling, that you'd bring them back to a path where they can lead rather than walk out and quit because they're tired and worn out. Lord, I pray today that you would do a miracle in every marriage and every family in this room. Even the ones that are not here this morning, as I look around, whatever reasons, doesn't really matter. But Lord, I pray that you would do a work in their marriages, in their lives. That you today would just touch the hearts of every home through the father and the wife, the mother, coming along side by side. Where there's forgiveness needed today, we release forgiveness. But we ask for the healing power to flow through every relationship in this room right now. And lastly, Lord, I thank you. And this is my favorite part. I just speak a blessing over every man that's in this room, that he would be the father he's called to be. He would walk in the way you called him to walk. That he would stand in the face of truth, no matter what the consequences might be, he would walk in truth. He would walk in grace, and he would walk in love and mercy. So I pray this blessing over every single man that's represented. They would be called great men of God. Even though they might not see it, I call them out right now. They would walk in the greatness of who they're called to be before God. And where they're struggling, you're going to uplift them. You're going to strengthen them. And so I pray a blessing over every man that they would fulfill the call of God. They would make their home a place where they're providing. They're providing it not just physically, but they're providing an atmosphere, and they're providing a place for their children to be blessed and successful too. That not only their life, but those that are represented through them would also be blessed. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.